Here's what we're talking about next. So you'll remember that last Friday, we finished the Book of Acts, and we spent about 7 weeks in that book. Some pieces we went through really quickly. Some pieces we went through very in kind of micro detail. I think chapter 16, we really just talked about three verses. I think last Wednesday we covered like six chapters. It was three, four chapters. So it was kind of all over the map. But that book was really a lot of fun to revisit. I got to obviously spend a lot of time studying it, reading about it, and doing some digging. So that was a joy. Hopefully you enjoyed it too. I know some of you were discussing in your groups. We've started a kind of an online small group as well. It will be a meeting where we can kind of process some of those things that we've uncovered as well. But today what we're doing is we're starting a series on spiritual gifts, which just makes good sense coming out of Acts, which is kind of when all these spiritual gifts kind of emerge. And though Paul doesn't necessarily talk about them by name in all cases, you know, he does talk about, you know, speaking in tongues and these sort of things in the book of Acts. They make their way into Romans and Corinthians and the rest of the books that he writes, and Peter talks about them. And so it's this kind of pervasive idea through the rest of the New Testament. And what's interesting is the spiritual gifts really kind of were lost for a couple hundreds of years. It wasn't really until the 1906 when there's kind of the start of the charismatic movement. Sorry for my chickens. The start of the charismatic movement when they started to kind of come back. But even then, it was kind of only in like isolated pockets. It wasn't part of the main line. And in about the 1970s, people started to really kind of have an earnest resurgence of investigation into these spiritual gifts. And so spiritual gifts, when we talk about them in our contexts, they're all over the map. There are people who know them very, very well. They can probably teach this series better than I can. And that's part of why we're picking your brains, because I want to know what things you would have us know, what questions you have, what things and experiences you've had in your own life as you've practiced and lived out the spiritual gifts. There are other people who, because we have some young believers in our church and some folks that maybe aren't even like dialed in on Jesus yet. And so the idea of spiritual gifts is going to be completely foreign to them. They don't even know what we're talking about. And so what I want to know is I don't want to just go through and design this series according to what I want to do, although it is one of my favorite things to talk about, the spiritual gifts. But I want your kind of insights. What are the questions that you have, right? There are some people who think that the spiritual gifts, there are nine of them and no more. Some of them think that there are like zero, right? Like we just don't have them anymore. Few folks think that. There are some folks who wouldn't put the number at 27. There are some folks that would say 28. There are some folks who would say we might have new ones that we didn't have in Scripture. Some people think that's scandalous and heretical. And so we're really all over the map. What I want to say up front is these are not salvific issues. These are not like die on the hill issues, like how we define spiritual gifts and which ones make it and which ones don't. These aren't fights that we're going to get into, but we will have discussion, and we want to make sure that we put in play things that we think are biblical and valuable. So we're all over the map, even on the number of them, right? Some of you will probably think, I don't have any idea what mine are. I don't even know what the options are. Some of you will think, yeah, I've got some, but I want to return them. I want to exchange it for something else. I got exhortation and I really want prophecy. Sometimes you think you got one and it's damaged like in transit, right? Like we're all over the map when it comes to spiritual gifts. And what I want to do is make sure that I'm able to kind of speak to the questions that you actually have about them. And so even if you're a person who has a ton of experience with these gifts, has practiced living them out in multiple contexts over the last 20, 30, 50 years, we really want you folks to be a part of this too, because I believe that that's how we identify our gifts, is not just through little assessments and tests that we can take, but really having other people who know us kind of speak truth into our lives and kind of call out the gifts that we see. That's one of the things that I really try to do well as a pastor, is see gifts in other people and let them know, hey, you are gifted at this, you need to flex that muscle. So my question for you, the ask in this message today is, can you do me the favor of responding with what you want to know about spiritual gifts? If that's just go through them and give me the list, what is administration? What is apostleship? What is mercy? What is giving? Like, let me know that. I may do that. If you want to know, you know, the difference between office and gifting, or typical gift sets for different offices, right? So some folks would say that the office of pastor or the position of pastor means that I have to have the gift of pastoring. And I would say, I don't know that I have the gift of pastoring. I think I have a different skill set that makes me pastor in a different way than lots of folks either expect or maybe want, to be honest. I don't know. But other folks would say, no, if you're a pastor, you have the gift of pastoring. We will talk through it and we'll see, right? You might just want to know what all the Greek words are, and I'll tell you I don't know, but I can go find them. I have ways to do that, right? So what I really want you to do is in the comments below, by sending a message directly to the Northgate page, by sending me a message on Facebook, by texting me, emailing me, writing me a letter, somehow help me guide this conversation so that I'm not just riffing on the things that I want to talk about, but that I can make sure that the things that are relevant about the spiritual gifts for you in your context can kind of be touched on. Because again, this is one of my favorite things to teach about. I think that we do a disservice to the kingdom when we ignore them or when we overlook them. And I think we kind of trivialize the amount of transformation that happens on behalf of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our lives if we ignore or are unaware of the spiritual gifts that he has given us. I think that those are the tools, the skills that he has given for us to live out and impact the kingdom. And if we don't use them, not only is it sad, but it's, dare I say, irresponsible and damaging to the body. You look at LeBron James or Steph Curry and you say, this person is designed to play basketball. It would be tragic if they were insurance salesmen, right? Like that would be a missed opportunity for them to live their best life. And I think that when we know what our spiritual gifts are, that's giving us an opportunity not only to live our best lives, because I will say the spiritual gifts aren't really about us. They're about the body and keeping health in the body and honoring Jesus. But if he gives us these gifts, if he entrusts us with the gift of teaching or wisdom or knowledge or mercy or hospitality or whatever, and we don't put them in play, we weaken the body and we're not living up to our highest potential, which means that the body that we are a part of, the Christian body, which is the language that Paul uses, I think, every time he talks about the spiritual gifts, is thereby weakened as well. And so I want to make sure that we are hitting this out of the park. This is a series that I'm really excited about. We've done this one other time since I've been at Northgate. So I don't want to just rehash that. I could just point you to those links, but that's not what I want to do. I want to make sure that we are a very different church than we were 4 years ago when we did that series. So give me input. Tell me what you want to know. Tell me how we can make this topic of spiritual gifts come alive, right? I will rehash this analogy because I've done it 1,000 times. I believe that the spiritual gifts are kind of like the welcome package that the Holy Spirit brings when he's your house guest, right? Like when he moves into your life and he sets up shop in your heart, he comes bearing gifts, right? Like sometimes you come to our house, you bring a bottle of wine or you bring a candle or a flower or whatever. That's what's going on. Like he's moving in and he wants to let you know that he's appreciative. And so he gives you this gift. He wants you to use it. So how can we make sure that those gifts come alive? You have all the means of communication on the planet to get back to me. Love to hear what you have to say, and we will kick this thing off kind of in earnest on Wednesday. Love you, folks. Excited to see you.